Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz, host of Span and Fitz and SportsCenter on Snapchat. Listen to Jason every weeknight on 92.9 FM ESPN and 680 AM. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
It's always a highlight of my week, man. It really
gets us going.
It picks me up. Fitz, what's up, brother?
Man, it's Victory Monday. I mean, I'm asking for a friend, but how long do you get to celebrate to play over the Browns? I feel like it's like 48, maybe 72 hours. I don't know.
No, I think we can get the whole week out of it. I'll be honest. I mean, listen, I don't care about the rest of the team. All I know is Derek Carr is a stud. That's all I know.
Well, and it is funny because, you know, just every fan base becomes immediately divided, right? If you look at Twitter, at one point in that game, it was, you know, Derek Carr stinks. And then by the end of the game, it's like, you know what, Derek Carr's the best. So I'm with you. I think that, you know, we're maybe not even appreciating him as much as we should be. And the Raiders finally get off the schneid. Got to feel good. Were you surprised there was no Gatorade bath, though? I was a little surprised.
Oh, you guys.
I didn't see a dunk at the end of it.
Yeah, it felt like – you're exactly right, Ben. Oh. It felt like a playoff victory.
What a win.
It really did. And you know what, though? I think we got Gruden in a good spot. You know, you got to earn the Gatorade bath. You got to do it again. You got to do this again.
Can we just say, though, how crazy this NFL season has become, that game got so much attention – that the Browns are getting so much attention in a world where the Dolphins are out there, you know, 3-1, and I know they laid an egg, but, you know, you're looking at some of the teams that all of a sudden are playing well and some of the teams that are capturing everybody's attention. This NFL season is going to put on a show for us.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We have a few teams that we need to get to while we're on the subject. One of them is the Tennessee Titans. And listen, for the last several years, you know, I've poked holes in that team when I could, and a lot of times they made it easy. But you look at the way this team has played the last several weeks, and they've battled through injury and other various things. I mean, that was as good a win as you will get in the NFL that the Titans got yesterday.
And in my mind right now, Mike Vrabel is clearly the coach of the year. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds staggering, but when you're thinking about a 3-1 team that's winning games with Blaine Gabbert at one point, and now with, you know, Mariota wearing some sort of a weird, you know, glove that looks like it's out of the next Star Wars, and you know, trying to figure out how they managed to get it done. The fact is, that defensive line got after the Eagles in a way that nobody expected. Jarrell Casey is playing lights out. And, you know, I'm looking at it thinking, if the measure of a coach is do you make your players better and do you make them competitive even when they shouldn't be, nobody's doing that better than Mike Vrabel right now. So hats off to him.
How many teams in the AFC would you still put above the Titans? And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think you look at that team, you look at the last two teams they just knocked off, and you say, wow, they're one of the better teams in the AFC. How many teams you still comfortably put ahead of them, Fitzy?
Well, I'd still come. I know they beat Jacksonville, and Titans fans don't like to hear this, but I think if they play 10 times, Jacksonville's going to win more than they lose to that matchup. So I think Jacksonville, and look, we all want to leave the Patriots for dead, but I've done that too many times, so I won't do that. So those guys stand out to me as still the cream of the AFC, but the Chiefs, obviously. Yep. The Chiefs are the best team in the conference right now. So, I mean, I just feel like if today we were talking, what would the Super Bowl be today? It's Rams Chiefs, and what a game that would be. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody would be glued to that one.
Oh, I mean, just frankly, if only because of the Patriots fatigue, honestly. You know, and plus you add to the fact that these are two awesome offenses.
Yeah. Don't forget it's still Andy Reid in the playoffs, though. Don't forget that.
That is a fair point. But, man, we're in a world now where, what, four different quarterbacks
thrown
for five touchdowns in the game already this year? Like, the way offenses are exploding is it's fun. It's dynamic. It's interesting to watch. And I'm starting to wonder if even Andy Reid can't screw this one up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to go back to the Titans really quickly, Jason, because I know you're locked in. Obviously, you used to do radio. You lived in Nashville, so you're locked into that team. I look at that offense, and I see a lot of great signs. Corey mm-hmm. Davis' emergence is one of them. Taywan Taylor certainly looks to, you know, be a very nice piece in the slot. I think Derrick Henry's holding them back, though. Their insistence on, you know, giving Derrick Henry in most games, you know, 15 to 18 carries. Now, he wasn't as much of a part of the game script yesterday, but he has been in the back. I feel like Deion Lewis is a much better fit for that offense full time. What do you think?
No, I actually agree with you, and it's interesting because I think that the approach on Derrick Henry is wear him down, right? So you're going to give him enough carries that by the end of the game, those carries are going for chunk yardage. The problem is that offense isn't really built around that scheme for the most part. So you're looking at flexibility, and you're looking at a back that can come out of the backfield and make something happen, and Deion Lewis is doing that right now. I mean, he's a better fit for what Mariota needs and for what this offense needs. I wonder if Derrick Henry, over the course of the year, is going to see a reduced role as they figure that out more as a staff. You know, I think there were also some statements yesterday. You mentioned Corey Davis and Tywan Taylor. And when you think about the statement yesterday, I thought early on the way they were throwing the ball was their way of saying, hey, QB fine. QB1's fine. And so I wonder how much the game plan, like, is that what the Titans are going to look like week in and week out? Or were they making a statement that they can look that way if they want to look that way? I tend to think that's what they're going to look like year, week in, week out, though.
Yeah. We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joined us every single Monday. You can hear him on Spain and Fitz evenings here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and also watch the College Football Show on Twitter. Before we get to college football and other issues, Jason, do want to ask you, my man here, Jason Smith, obviously is the proud new recipient of Khalil Mack, who continues to wreak havoc, and Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky yesterday, I mean, once he had 5 touchdowns in the first half, I mean, how legitimate do you think the Bears are?
I'm not buying Trubisky to that level. Like, I'll buy Trubisky's good. I'll buy he's good, but come on. That's like the sun shines on a whole, you know, I mean, that's where we are at that every once in a while. Like, that Tampa defense is just a
atrocious. It's atrocious, no doubt.
You know, and I have to wonder at this point how long that coaching staff, how much rope are they going to be given in Tampa? Because, frankly, Jameis Winston is not going to come in and suddenly make up for the fact that they can't play defense. So, I think that there's a bit of that portion of it. I still think the Bears' formula is, you know, is play great defense and don't let Trubisky ruin the game for you. And that's okay for right now. And with that being said, you know, I do look at the Bears and think that formula can get them to the playoffs. And I don't know that that was the case before the Khalil Mack trade. So you really got to give them credit for getting a great player and making a team better. And that's what every franchise wants, right? I'm not willing to give up on the Vikings. I know a lot of people are.
It's
I'm not
early.
Willing to give up on the Vikings.
Yep.
But I think the Bears are a playoff caliber football team for sure.
And they're certainly a year ahead of schedule. I got at least with Mack in the fold now. I got one more NFL one for you, Fitz. If you're Earl Thomas yesterday and you're getting carted off that field and you've obviously been through the contract things with Seattle, they won't give it to you, and yet you're showing, you're playing your games, you're not practicing. Are you throwing the finger sign yesterday? What was going through your mind as he's getting carted off yesterday?
Look, I think it's heartbreaking for him to go through that. I understand that, and I know the frustration has to be there. But in today's world, I don't see the win, right? Because up until this point, we could question sitting out of practice, but somebody's going to give him a big deal at some point, right? That's the presumption. Mm-hmm. And you could look at all of it and say, hey, you know what? He handled that the best he could. That lasting memory of Earl Thomas is something that every owner just saw, every GM just saw, and it's just, it's not the right look. He, in that moment, as hard as it's going to be for him, he's got to be better than that, because now the mumbles of is he a good teammate or not become roars, right, because of the way he handled it.
Jason, what do you think was going through Dabo Swinney's mind on Saturday when Trevor Lawrence got knocked out of the game?
You know, identity. I'll say this. Dabo could have done wrong for a lot of people and done right for his team by not making this decision. He could have done wrong by, you know, stringing Kelly Bryant along and keeping Kelly Bryant sort of in the fold.
Agreed.
He could have done wrong by a lot of people. And he didn't. And as much as people were talking about he may have risked an entire shot at a national championship, he also cemented the legacy that Dabo does it different. And that's where, you know, he does communicate. And he is going to put players first. And that's going to give every player that's thinking about where to play the knowledge that even when there's a championship on the line, Dabo's going to do right by you. And that's a strong message for high school kids all across the country that are trying to figure out what coach to play for. And it's a strong message to the identity of Clemson. And also for him to have a fourth down play late in the game and to put the ball in his in his freshman quarterback's hands and say, make that play. You know, it stood out to me after the game when Holly Rowe was interviewing him, and he said, you know, I just told him, how awesome is it you get to play in front of this crowd today with these guys? Like, just appreciate the moment. It's such a reminder of the identity that makes Clemson right now stand out for a lot of people as because of the identity of Dabo.
Fitz, right now, it doesn't feel like the SEC is going to get two teams in the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Man, I got to see something different from Georgia, right? I mean, that was I was early on hype on Georgia.
Me too.
Big time. Alabama is amazing. I'm not taking anything away
it's
from Alabama.
It's a step down, though, isn't it? Clearly.
It's a big step down.
Big
and
time.
Now, I mean, I'm looking at it saying Georgia's supposed to be sort of imposing their will the same way Alabama is. Auburn hasn't been imposing any will. I mean, we said after 2 weeks, oh, look at how stacked the SEC is, and now I'm sitting here after – what, 4 or 5 weeks saying, okay, it's Alabama and everybody else. And that's, man, that's just unfortunate for the college football fan right now, because you could say pretty clearly, I think, that at least two of our four, I mean, we know Ohio State, we know Alabama right now, both clearly look like they're in the playoff. And that stinks. Like, I want some mystery to it.
Obviously, James Franklin took a lot of heat over the weekend for that questionable fourth down play call. And then after the game, he goes on and listen, I'm sure there was some group of people out there, probably namely Penn State fans, who appreciated that speech. I kind of roll my eyes at it, right? Like when you start saying, we're great, but Ohio State, they're elite. Like, I kind of roll my eyes at that. What did you think of that performance for James Franklin and Penn State, and what did you think of his spiel afterwards?
I thought the spiel was forced and cliche and not honest. And we just talked about identity with Dabo. Players make plays. You got Trace McSorley, one of the best players in the country, that's going to lead you, that's going to be the guy that's on every billboard for your program. He is the face right now of Penn State football. And on fourth down, you didn't let him make that play. And that's a moment where, as a coach, he got clever. And when you get clever and it works, everybody praises it. When you get clever and it doesn't work, then you got to stand up and you got to take that kick for it. And ultimately, I think Franklin can talk all day long about we're great, but, you know, that we can't be comfortable being great. That's a soft way of avoiding the real issue, which is he didn't let his best player shine in a moment where your best player is supposed to make your biggest play.
Yeah, I tend to think coaches overanalyze by and then it ends up being analysis by paralysis, you know, all the time anyway. And then before we get you out of here, Jason, I got to ask you, and you got to tell me if I got you pegged right, man. I peg you as like a guy who goes absolutely insane for Halloween. I'm talking about, like, you spend way too much money on Halloween decorations and costumes and makeup. You probably have, like, a massive party that puts everybody on your block to shame. Do I have you pegged right?
Interesting.
No. Actually, when I got the college football show on Twitter, I sat down first day and said, hey, October 20th, I can't be there. I don't care what's happening. I can't be there October 20th. That's our Halloween party. And when I say, boys, that, like, you know those movies where you see the party in the movie and you're like, this only happens there? That's what happens at my house every Halloween. We've got 15 different movie scenes built in our front lawn right now with mannequins that are all acting out like Nightmare on Elm Street. And, like, we've got a camp with Jason Voorhees over the little tent. We've got a turned over boat with a shark on it for Jaws. We got all that in the front lawn.
Now,
yeah, it's over the top.
Is this in Bristol, or is this back home in Nashville?
Oh, it's in Nashville. Like, I've flown home more in the last month than I have all year because I got to help the wife get all the stuff out for Halloween. Like, and then on November 1st, I got to take it all down, wash the mannequins off, and start building movie scenes from famous Christmas movies. Boys, it's the holiday season.
Now, listen.
Absolutely. I love the way you embrace it.
I'm never ashamed to invite myself to things, Fitz, so I will see you October 20th.
Come on. I mean, make sure a couple rules. You got to have a costume, and you got to be ready for things to get weird. As long as you've got all that covered, you are more than welcome.
All right, my man. Well, I'll be in touch, man. Sounds great. Appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you, Fitz.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
All right, brother.
Yep, he is Jason Fitz.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.